This is Cradle My Heart Radio with your host, Kim Cotola. Cradle My Heart Radio, preventing abortion and helping those it hurts. And now, Kim Cotola and Cradle My Heart Radio.
Healing hearts after abortion is a real possibility. And I know the first time I heard that message, I was so overjoyed and yet really reluctant to think that that could be true for me. And I think you're going to be really encouraged when you hear Victoria's story, if you haven't yet heard it, although I don't know how you could have escaped it, because she's all over media and she's doing a wonderful job of proclaiming what God can do in one life. We'd like to welcome back to Cradle My Heart Radio, Victoria Robinson. Thanks for being with us this time.
Thank you so much for having me again. It's always a pleasure to get to share about my experiences, and my hope is always that someone hears it and identifies with my story, and it changes their life as well as it changed mine.
Well, speaking of change, Victoria, you changed your name. You had a different name last time you joined us. People know you from Preacher's Daughter, but Preacher's Daughters, that is. But tell us about becoming Victoria Robinson.
Well, Victoria Koloff, as I formerly have been known as, has been a name that I've had for, gosh, over 25 years. It was a married name, and my ex and I have been divorced for 11 years now, and the reason I kept it after the divorce was for the sake of my children. My youngest daughter at the time was 9 and still in school, as well as my daughter that's now 25 was 12, and I just felt like I need to keep this name for their sake. I don't want them to have to go to school and explain, why does your mom have a different last name than you do? And so that's why I kept it. But my youngest is now 21. Three of my four daughters are now married. I have four grandchildren, and I decided it's time for me to take back my name that I was given when I was born. So Robinson is my maiden name, and I made the decision after lots of prayer. It's something I've wanted to do for actually several years, but I wanted the timing to be right. It's been an adjustment for others, not so much for me, and only for them, because they're like, wait, aren't you the same girl that was on Preacher's Daughters or that Victoria Cole? And so once I explain it, everybody understands. So no, I did not get married again. I am still very single, but I am going to be using my maiden name from here on out until if ever I do get married again.
Well, and I appreciate that, and I applaud you for it. You know, I changed names long into a career. And a lot of people told me that no one's going to be able to find you and your brand. And you know what? It sounds like your heart was absolutely in the right place. And so I'll say a quick prayer that there'll be no confusion in anybody's mind about who Victoria Robinson is.
You know, Kim, I heard the same things. I heard that you've worked so hard all these years in your career and you're established as Victoria Koloff. And that didn't matter to me as much as what mattered to my own identity. And I needed it back. And I just felt like the Lord would take care of the rest. I needed to have my name back. And I didn't want to continue to carry a name that didn't belong to me anymore. So it was a good decision. I'm glad I made it. And it is very nice to meet you. I'm Victoria Robinson.
Beautiful. Well, Victoria, you have shared, you have stories along the spectrum. You have stories about unintended pregnancy. You have stories about choosing life. You have stories of abortion. You have stories of adoption through the work that you do in the pregnancy help movement. And before I start, launching in with questions, I want to give you a chance to talk about what's on your heart right now today. Like, what is your priority? Because I know, as I say, you're healing from abortion. You're helping people understand that. You're getting the word out there that there's a better choice, even if it's impossible for you to parent a child in your unintended pregnancies. You're making those plans. But you're helping people walk through these decisions. What's on your heart to share with us today?
You know, there's so many things when it comes to this issue. And I think that what I'm passionate about is, first of all, starting with teaching young people that they are worth more and they have more value than having sex outside of marriage, first of all. If we can combat that epidemic that's going around with our young people, we wouldn't end up with all these young people who are in unwanted pregnancies or crisis pregnancies. So my heart is for young people to know the truth of the decisions that they want to make now that can impact the rest of their life. I'm always going to be passionate about that. I've got four daughters, as I said, from 35 down to 21, four grandchildren now, one granddaughter, three grandsons. And just because I have now three boys in my life instead of all these girls I've always had doesn't mean that the message is still not the same for as my grandsons are growing up. So that's one thing I'm always going to be passionate about is young people hearing the truth and understanding there are other options. The post-abortive woman will always be special to me because I was that woman for 13 years. I will be a post-abortive woman the rest of my life. But for 13 years, I walked the planet feeling guilt and shame 24/7. And I don't want women to feel that. And as well, men have become a big part of the work that I'm doing as well. At the beginning, I'll be honest, over 20 years ago when I first got involved in this movement, men weren't on my mind. I was still angry about men. I was meeting women who'd been hurt and lied to, including myself, by the fathers of their aborted children. So I walked around thinking, well, they don't even care. They've moved on with their life, and they're not even affected about with this decision like I am. My father, the father of my aborted child, talked me into it and paid for it, made me do it. So I was really angry with him. But what I found now is men are hurting just as much as women. And we've got 60 million fathers out there who don't want to be forgotten. So my heart has changed towards how I look at men now and the post-abortive movement. And when I called the father of my child that I aborted to let him know I had written the book, this was over 10 years ago, he just wept on the phone and said, I've been waiting for this call. You have no idea how it affected me. And he asked me for forgiveness and wanted to apologize for the decision we made. So I have completely changed my paradigm has shifted towards men. So what's on my heart now is not just the young people and the post-abortive woman that will always be on my heart, and of course the woman who's facing a crisis pregnancy, to make sure she understands all of her options and what the consequences of each option will be. But it's also the men. Men have become just real dear to my heart to make sure that they get the help they need, too. Mm. Because as I've traveled across the country, Kim, a lot of men will come to me and say, don't forget about us, or thank you for not forgetting about us.
Oh, that's awesome.
I would say that's on my heart pretty heavy now.
Mm-hmm. Victoria Robinson is our guest. She's an author, a public speaker, a nonprofit executive, and host of Real Talk with Victoria, which is on Fox Sports Radio. And her guests have included all kinds of people. I mean, wow, we need a separate interview for me to tell us about your interviews. But she's a mother of four daughters, and as she said, now young men in her life, and the issues that men face have become a growing concern. Victoria is a pregnancy center director. She's been a national public speaker for over 15 years. And Victoria, one of the things that I think is so important is that, you know, you've been very open in sharing your abortion testimony, and people can find it on YouTube. You share it publicly often when you go and you do your speaking engagements. And I think what so struck me as I listened to your story is that the villain in the story was not the man with whom you conceived this child. The villain in the story was the people at the abortion business.
Mm-hmm. And exactly.
Yeah, so I want to give you a chance to talk about that just a little bit, because I think, you know, for those of us who are passionate about the cause of life, and there's some momentum now that, you know, the big national pro-choice or, you know, abortion rights advocates, abortion providers, there's a lot of momentum to get government funding out of that. And there's a lot of momentum to defund it and, you know, dismantle it and so on. And people on the sidelines might not understand why that passion exists. You know, for those of us who have been, have experienced their methods and have been exploited, I think it's really important that we share the truth of what happened to us and the way that we were treated.
Absolutely. And I was treated like a piece of meat in my own experience, and with the hundreds and probably thousands of women that I've met now, thousands across the country who are post-abortive who've shared their stories with me, whether it's been at a speaking engagement or because they got a hold of my book somehow, someone bought it for them, or they got it online. It's pretty much the same across the board. I've yet to meet the woman who says, gosh, I felt such compassion for the abortion clinic workers. And if you think about it, Kim, the mentality you must have to have and the lies you must continually have to tell yourself to walk into a clinic every single day and abort children, you've got to have scales on your eyes. There's no way. And what is interesting is I hated those people, and I hate what they do and what they stand for. I still hate it. But as I've gotten older, I've learned to look at them, and I haven't always been successful, but definitely more than I used to be. I look at them now more with compassion, because one day they're going to wake up and realize, oh, my God, what have I done, and what have I been a part of? And so that's going to happen. For some of them, it'll come on Judgment Day. But for some, I believe it's going to come while they're here on this earth, because there are so many people like you and I and millions of others who are praying daily for not just the woman who's in a crisis pregnancy, but also for those abortion workers, for the scales to fall from their eyes and for them to see the error of their ways, if you will, and to realize the wickedness of an industry that they're involved in. And I will go to my grave saying that, yes, there's evil in the world that we deal with every day. We see it all the time with things that happen. But I will always believe there is still more good in the world than bad. And I've met many people who are now reformed abortion clinics who say they're devastated. And honestly, some of them that I've talked with, I leave them praying for them harder, thinking, how are they ever going to get through this, because they sit there and tell me through tears, I don't know that I'm ever going to be able to forgive myself. I am having nightmares. Constantly, I see that girl sitting in front of me that I talked into having an abortion, or all these different stories. So, yes, I have hatred for their cause. I hate that the lies they're telling women and men. I've shifted to have more compassion for them for what they're going to do in the future.
Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, because your forgiveness of them is our victory, right? And this is one of the things that I so stress when I talk with those impacted by abortion who, you know, are focused on the injustices of it. The forgiveness is our victory, and the forgiveness is completely within our power. Regardless of what was done to us, we are the only ones who can grant that forgiveness from our hearts. And I you've modeled it for us so beautifully there. I guess the reason that I wanted to give you the opportunity is that, you know, because there is an injustice. And I think that knowing that was one of the key pieces to my release from the whole experience. You know, nobody wants to see themselves as a victim. But if you were lied to, if you were deceived, if you were told, I think, Victoria, the detail that so stuck with me after hearing your story was, you know, that you can't get your money back if you change your mind, or some words along those lines.
Yeah.
I mean, so maybe there's somebody listening and, wow, a light bulb just went off. Hey, you know, they tried to grab my money like that, too. Unpack that for us, what that was like for you, and how you recovered and got to that place of forgiving. I mean, you said it really beautifully before as you were speaking, but, you know, I know that there's a lot of spiritual and emotional work that goes into that place of victory.
Oh, Kim, where I'm at today is not where I was 5 years ago, 2 years ago. I'm hoping to always be growing and, you know, growing up in Christ, not growing old. So I'm definitely a constant. I'm constantly trying to improve myself, and I will tell you this. Just 3 weeks ago, I had an encounter with someone who had hurt me very badly in the past, and this person is someone, I won't say who it is, but this person wanted to meet with me to ask me for forgiveness, and I didn't realize at that moment, and this was just a few weeks ago, so I sure don't want anyone to think, oh, Victoria's arrived. She's walking around in full forgiveness. No, she isn't. It's a daily process, especially with certain people and even the abortion industry. It's not like I look at them and think, oh, well, just God bless them, let's pray for them. It's not like that at all. It's a constant thing. But this was just a few weeks ago that I was able to release and offer this person forgiveness, but it wasn't about them. And here's my point in telling you that story, is that was about me. So that's the thing that we've got to remember and constantly keep in our mind, in the forefront of our mind. When we don't forgive, we're the ones drinking the poison. So when I went to the abortion clinic and that woman looked at me and said, hey, you know, if you lay on that table and you realize you changed your mind or you decide you don't want to do this, you're not getting this $350 back. It was so cold and so matter-of-fact, and she just wanted to make sure, once you hand me this cash, you're not getting it back. I don't care what you decide to do, but you don't get your money. So the bottom line was, that's always my argument about, it's all about money. It's not about women. It's about money. And the abortion industry is a multi-billion dollar industry. And when I hear about how it's all about women's rights and we care more about women than you do, really? Well, are you explaining to them, before you take their money, all the ramifications that will come after they get off that table? No, you're not. But you're making sure you get that money in your hands. It's a very cold industry. But the reason that I came to the point in the last several years that I've got to let this go is because of what it was doing to me. And I was meeting people that were in the abortion industry, and I was like, I like this person. This is not a bad person. Even Jesus hung on the cross and said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And one day, these people are going to come to that realization. I think it's happening more and more because of the prayers of the saints, saying, God, I pray today that there's a woman walking into an abortion clinic, not to have an abortion, but to perform one or to assist one. And I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that you will drop those scales from her eyes and she will see the truth. And her life will be forever changed. And she'll never walk back in there again.
Amen. Amen. And God is answering those prayers. And you know, some very high-profile people who fit that description have been our guests. And you know their names, Victoria. People like Carol Everett and Abby Johnson and Catherine Adair. And there are more and more and more of them coming. Dr. Levitino, oh, my goodness. You know, the brokenheartedness when they tell you about the moment when the scale fell is
exactly.
Just... Oh, my goodness. It makes me so grateful for God's patience with each one of us.
Yes, see, that's why I believe, Kim, because of hearing their stories and meeting them in person and other workers in person that may not ever be on a show like yours or have a platform, but they're out of that industry. I believe that's why the Lord started bringing these people into my life, because I had such a hatred for them for what they did to me. It was like, you did this to me. And you didn't tell me this, and you didn't tell me I was going to behave this way or act this way or feel this way about myself. All you wanted was that $350. That's all you cared about. So when I had this hatred, I know the Lord knew, Vic, I got to walk you through this forgiveness, not because I'm condoning what they did, but because it's eating you alive. And I didn't need to live with the guilt and shame of having the abortion and taking the life of my child on top of all this hatred of everybody else, the boyfriend and my friends who didn't talk me out of it and the person who did this or did that. I mean, I had a list because it was easier to blame everybody else but myself and take responsibility. So when I finally took responsibility for my decision and then accepted God's forgiveness, forgave myself, then little by little, like you hear all the time, the onion that has layers that peel off, it's the same thing. The Lord knew, okay, we got it. Now we've worked on this one. Now we're going to work on this one. You've got to get to that place where you don't hear of someone who worked. Because I have friends on Facebook that are involved in pro-choice work, who are involved at abortion clinics, that are nice people. They just really do not know what they do.
Victoria Robinson is our guest, and she was featured in Lifetime's Preacher's Daughter and is also now a pregnancy center director. She's an author, speaker, and writer, and a role model, really, Victoria. And I think that, you know, one of the things that so struck me is that you're a public, and yet, I mean, here you are on a television show about faith. And, you know, one of the biggest barriers for not just healing after abortion, because as you said, it's kind of a 24/7 guilt and shame game, but unintended pregnancy. It's like, wow, church is the one place where we can't seem to think about and talk about and reveal and share these things. What was that like for you being, you know, having this as part of your story, and here you are on national television on Preacher's Daughter, as you look back on that now?
I can tell you, thank God that Preacher's Daughters came along after I've gone through my healing. It's been, you know, 28 years for me, and then for 29, well, gosh, now 30 years for me, 30 years since I had my abortion. So if Preacher's Daughters had come along any earlier, 10, 20 years ago, there's no way. I would have been constantly hiding and praying every day, God, don't let anybody find out my secret. But when Preacher's Daughters came along, I was already out there. I've been out speaking now for 10, 15 years and sharing my story. My book's been out for 11 years. It's in its fourth print now. So that, for me, was another opportunity and a platform for people to hear my story. So that's what's interesting about doing Preacher's Daughters. Other people might do television shows for different reasons. My reason at the forefront always was, God, this is going to give me an even bigger platform for people to say, who is this person on this show? I need to Google her. And then they're going to find my abortion testimony. Then they're going to find the interviews that I've done and the work that I do in pregnancy centers. And they're going to start asking questions and want to know more about it. Or they've had an abortion and they'll reach out to me to say, how can I get help? And I can tell you, every single thing that I thought could happen because of doing that show happened. There were so many people that reached out to me through email, through Facebook, through my social media, asking me about where they could go to help get help for themselves. And this adoption that I just helped with in the last 6 months, and I don't normally get involved in adoption through the pregnancy center. We don't actually do adoption through pregnancy center. But this young woman from Georgia emailed me on Facebook because she saw Preacher's Daughters. She had been raped and now was pregnant and wanted an abortion. Because she saw me on Preacher's Daughters and had been a fan for these last few years, she reached out to me and said, can you help me? Well, come, long story short, and this is an incredible story that I can't wait to share in detail. This girl, I helped facilitate an adoption for her with a really good friend of mine who had been telling me for 2 years, you're the one that the Lord's going to use to bring our baby to adopt. And I kept saying to them, no, I'm not. I don't do that. So this whole thing happened because of TV show, Kim. And that young mother said to me, I not only gave birth to a child because I was going to abort this baby, you helped me find the perfect family to take this baby, and it all started because I watched you on Preacher's Daughters.
Wow, that's beautiful. It really is beautiful. And, you know, if you think about it, everybody longs for, you know, the chance to share their story, you know, in a way that's going to impact others. I think it's in our heart of hearts to evangelize. We call it evangelism, but we want to share. We want to connect with others. We want to be known. And the deal is, it's one person at a time. And so,
it is.
Oh my goodness.
It's one person at a time unless God opens the door and gives you a platform that a million
yes.
are watching you every week on TV. So that's literally how I look at every opportunity that God gives me. I have another opportunity that may be coming that I can't talk about right now, but I'll make sure that you'll hear about it on Facebook. I'll be making an announcement soon. But I just keep walking through whatever doors he opens for me. And as I said, I don't look at things as, oh gosh, this is going to get me more followers on social media or get more money in my bank account. I always try to look at everything the Lord brings to me and say, God, I know why you're doing this, because it's going to impact my story. It's going to impact other women and men who are struggling through this abortion issue, whether they've gone through it already or they're considering it. So God, use my story, use my platform, use my personality, whatever you need to do to reach those people. And that's how I look at opportunities.
It's beautiful, Victoria. And you also, you know, you walk the talk. We have a real heart here for the pregnancy help centers. And so with just about under 2 minutes remaining, I want to give you a chance to say, you know, what do you wish? What, in a perfect world, what would you have that would make your life easier and better as a pregnancy center director? What do the rest of us need to know about the challenges you're facing in that work?
My staff, myself, our volunteers, there's always something coming, whether it's our health or finances, whatever the case would be. As far as the pregnancy center, people have said to me, what do you think you do? And I'm like, well, I consider myself a professional beggar. I feel like I'm constantly asking people for fun to keep us viable and open. If my dream would be someone walked in, somebody who had so much money and said, you know what, what's your overhead every month? I want to take care of that for you. Because you need to just be out there doing other things than always trying to find money. So we have to have money because we don't take any government assistance. We don't take zero. We're constantly 100% funded by donors. So I would ask for prayer, cover prayer for my staff, myself, and then finances. If you want to make a donation, go find your local pregnancy center. Ours is on our website. It's pcofmt.org.
Well, and I thank you, Victoria. And if you didn't have your pencil poised, just go to cradlemyheart.org. We'll have all of the links that you'll need to find out more about Victoria and how to get involved in the work that God is doing in and through her life. Victoria Robinson, thank you so much for being our guest. Now, stay with us. Coming up, we'll open the phones at 1-800-811-3003 for your calls here at Cradle My Heart Radio. Join us.
A safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken within, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
Thanks so much for being with us, and welcome to the live portion of Cradle My Heart Radio, where the phones are now open at 1-800-811-3003. 1-800-811-3003. I want to pick up a theme from our conversation with tonight's guest, Victoria Robinson, and she talked about forgiving someone and the difficulty that forgiveness can pose. I want to ask you, and we have a resource on forgiveness tonight, a book called Forgiving Forward by Dr. Bruce and Tony Hebel. And the book is a foreword, also features a foreword from Dr. Bruce Wilkinson, Prayer of Jabez fame. And it's a very interesting exegesis about one of the parables that Jesus told about the unforgiving servant. And you probably know it, and we'll get into it as we go along. But the lesson that the Hebels have extracted from that parable has to do with the fact that God says, if you don't forgive others, you're going to subject yourself to weeping and gnashing of teeth, a torment. And so I want to know from you, if you have had trouble forgiving in the past, and if so, what broke through? What helped you? What really made a difference in your ability to forgive what at one time seemed to you unforgivable? It's such a powerful thing that God has entrusted to us. It really does give us the power to end a difficult injustice and a difficult emotional time of turmoil through making the decision and the act of the will to forgive. What have you learned about forgiveness? Maybe it's a sermon. Maybe it's a life experience. Maybe it's a teaching that you, or a book you've read. 1-800-811-3003, maybe in prayer, you learned something about forgiveness that you would really love others to know, that you have found extremely helpful in your journey of faith. Our number is 1-800-811-3003. 811-3003. I think forgiveness is not very well understood. It really is not an emotional experience. Again, it's a decision and a choice, an action of the will. 1-800-811-3003. And, you know, aside from the spiritual mandate that Jesus gave us in Matthew 6, when he said, if you forgive, your Father in heaven will forgive you. And if you do not forgive, your Father in heaven will not forgive you. What he was saying there is that this is between you and God, not between you and the person who harmed you. And if you leave it between you and God, it becomes a very simple interaction. I don't want to say a transaction, because we don't necessarily forgive to get something, although when we sincerely forgive, we do reap benefits. But it's an interaction. And so if we would consider what we want God to forgive us for, the answer has to be everything, right? Then in the same way, God would have us forgive everything, relying on God to work out the justice. That's a simple understanding that that was given to me at a many, many years ago at a crucial time in my life that has proved so helpful through the years as other things have occurred that I've needed to forgive. How about you? 1-800-811-3003 is our number. It's a toll-free call, 800-811-3003. What's your best advice on forgiving the unforgivable? Whether it would be spiritual, whether it would be, as I say, a life lesson, a teaching, a Bible verse you want to share about forgiving. You know, forgiving is really good medicine. There's an article from Johns Hopkins that says conflict doesn't just weigh down the spirit. It can lead to physical health issues. You can find this on the Hopkins website, hopkinsmedicine.org, and the title of the article is Forgiveness, Your Health Depends on It. So they gave some steps, not necessarily, of course, here from a biblical point of view, but from a pragmatic and practical standpoint. I think this is really interesting because they say studies have found that the act of forgiveness can reap huge rewards for your health. It can lower the risk of heart attack. It can improve cholesterol levels and sleep. It reduces pain and blood pressure and levels of anxiety and depression and stress. And research points to an increase in the forgiveness and health connection as you age. Oh my goodness, how many of us have known a grandparent or another elder in our lives that was not able, an individual unable to forgive, and the bitterness that results? Because if something needs to be forgiven, it doesn't necessarily get better with time. Because, as I said, it's an act of the will. So Dr. Karen Swartz is quoted in the Hopkins article. She says there's an enormous physical burden to being hurt and disappointed. She directs the Mood Disorders Adult Consultation Clinic at Hopkins. And she says chronic anger puts you into a fight-or-flight mode. And that results in numerous changes, your heart rate, your blood pressure, your immune response. Those changes then increase your risk of depression, heart disease, diabetes, among other conditions. Forgiveness, however, she says, calms your stress levels, leading to improved health. And if you have ever made this decision of the will, if you have ever fought the emotional battle and won by choosing to forgive the unforgivable, you know the immediate sense of calm, particularly if that has been a spirit-led decision. So Hopkins Medicine says we can learn to be more forgiving, not just through saying the words. Dr. Swartz notes it's an active process in which you make a conscious decision to let go of negative feelings, whether the person deserves it or not. And as you release the anger, resentment, and hostility, you begin to feel empathy, compassion, and sometimes even affection for the person who wronged you. I can't say that that has always been true for me. I'm not sure that that's a great expectation for us to be giving one another. And perhaps in her practice, she has found that to be true. This article goes on to say that studies have found that some people are naturally more forgiving. And they tend to be more satisfied with life, by the way. And to have less depression, anxiety, stress, anger, hostility, you know, nobody wants a reputation as a pushover, right? And nobody, and certainly not our Lord Jesus Christ, is suggesting that anyone would become a doormat. He loves you too much to suggest that you should allow anyone to abuse you. That is not what forgiveness is about. But the Hopkins article goes on to say, people who hang on to grudges are more likely to experience severe depression and PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, as well as other health conditions. But you can train yourself to act in healthier ways. In fact, they say 62% of us American adults say they need more forgiveness in our personal lives. And that's according to a survey by the nonprofit Fetzer Institute. So their suggestions are, making forgiveness a part of your life, to realize that it is a choice, that you choose to offer compassion and empathy to the person who wronged you. Now, from a Christian's perspective, you may do that, but from the Christian perspective, what you are choosing to do is to leave room for God's wrath, as the Bible says. You're choosing to allow God to judge the situation. Now, that may result in you having compassion and more empathy when you think about, you know, God judging one who hasn't yielded their lives and hearts to Jesus Christ. That's a horrible thing for us to consider. I hope that that kindles compassion, you know, just on the basic humanity level. But really, it's not so that we can become more compassionate. I think that's a pretty high expectation. It's so that we can allow God to handle the situation in its entirety. That we can invite God into that decision to say, Lord, will you see to justice and mercy for all of us? Will you, Lord, come and heal whatever brokenness exists in the relationship in my heart? Will you bring my emotions in line with my decision? Okay. So, but from the practical standpoint, some steps that you can take are to reflect and to remember. So think about, you know, what happened and how you reacted, how you felt, how the anger and hurt actually affected you since, and then try to empathize with the other person, thinking about whatever mitigating circumstances might be for why the person behaved that way. And then they say, you know, forgive deeply. Simply because you think you have no other alternative or because you think your religion requires it may be enough to bring some healing. Dr. Swartz writes, but one study found people whose forgiveness came in part from understanding that no one's perfect were able to resume a normal relationship with the other person, even if that person never apologized. And that is the beauty of embracing this power that we have to forgive. They don't have to be sorry for you to go ahead and forgive. Now, whether you extend trust, whether you, enter into reconciliation. There are many, many parts and processes that will follow after the decision to forgive. And we have to be wise, and I hope that you would be seeking counsel with someone that's trustworthy and that can help you walk through this and support you emotionally, because if you're forgiving to get your emotions healed, you're probably not going to receive that validation from the person that you forgive. There might need to be some relationship repair first. You might need to have your emotional needs met in a safer place, if you will. But I like this part of the advice from Hopkins Medicine, which says, let go of expectations. An apology may not change your relationship with the other person or elicit an apology from her. And so if you don't expect either, you won't be disappointed. In other words, if you're apologizing for your part in whatever the breakdown was, and then you decide to forgive and you seal it with an action, write about your forgiveness in a journal and put the date down. And this was part of the advice that was given to me from a friend who's a Christian. She said, it's an act of the will. Write it in your Bible somewhere, maybe in the margin of Matthew 6. On this day, I forgave and the person's name. Or you can just even say, if you want that to remain private, I forgave, and you write down the date. Because your emotions may return to tell you that it's unforgivable and that you didn't forgive and you didn't mean it. And you can remember that you made that commitment and again pray that God will bring those emotions in line with that decision. Tell me about how forgiveness has worked in your life. Did you receive great advice, great teaching. Was there a time when you needed to be forgiven and someone forgave you and it proved to be a real blessing in your life? Are forgiving resources that you'd like to share? 1-800-811-3003 is our number. 1-800-811-3003. And for our callers tonight, we do have a resource. And, you know, the reason why I think this is such a beneficial resource for those who have experienced an unintended pregnancy or abortion is because in almost all of these cases, there's been a breakdown somewhere, perhaps a betrayal or expectations unmet. There's a need to forgive. And this is one of the most beautiful avenues to healing. 1-800-811-3003. We'll give you a moment to get to the phones and share your calls coming up. And for our callers, Forgiving Forward by Dr. Bruce and Tony Hebel from Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
That's our phone number, and our phones are open at 1-800-811-3003. And we're asking about your experience with forgiveness, maybe a verse that has really helped you to be more forgiving, maybe a teaching. And our resource tonight is the book Forgiving Forward, Unleashing the Forgiveness Revolution, Dr. Bruce and Tony Hebel. And let's go to the phones and say hi to Ron, who's listening in Duluth. Hey, Ron, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for calling.
One of the things that, my pleasure. I was just stumbling through the radio and found you and was very happy I did. What you mentioned earlier on the Lord's Prayer was really key for me to learn to forgive in a better manner. And that was in how Christ himself tells us to forgive others as we've been forgiven. And I think what the fundamental issue behind unforgiveness is, at least it was in my case, is a failure to truly believe how much we've been forgiven by the Lord himself. He told us that he who loves, who is forgiven much, will love much, and that if we love him, we'll do what he asks. And if we truly believe that he has forgiven us, and if we truly believe that our sins are vile, and realize just how much we've offended our holy God, and we realize that our outworking of forgiveness is an act of obedience to him who is sovereign, it really takes it, as you said, exactly as he said, away from between us and the person that has offended us. And it's truly that issue of forgiveness is between us and God. And if we keep it there where it belongs, where it truly is, it makes it much easier to forgive another person. Because what we're really doing is we're demonstrating the love that we have for God because we have been forgiven by that act of obedience of forgiving. Otherwise, we develop this root of bitterness, and it poisons us. It doesn't do any harm to the person that's offended us, but it really puts up a barrier between ourselves and that relationship that we have with Christ. And that's really what it's all about. And I found when I'm having trouble forgiving, to immediately confess that. It's sin not to forgive. It's sinful. It's an offense against God. That offense that needs forgiveness, ironically. And it just really helps me to keep that relationship in mind for forgiveness and for all things, really, about that it's everything that we do is between us and God primarily.
Beautifully said. Thank you so much, Ron. Stay on the line, and we're going to get you the copy of Forgiving Forward from the Hebels. And I really appreciate your heartfelt words, because I just couldn't have said that any better. You know, I recently had thank you, Ron. Recently had 1-800-811-3003. Do you have a verse on forgiveness that has really helped you? Is there a teaching or a section of scripture? I mentioned that we were going to talk about the parable of the unforgiving servant, and I'm going to share that in just a second. But I was really inspired to talk about this, not only because we spoke about it in our interview earlier in the hour with Victoria Robinson, but also I had a conversation with someone recently, and she had heard me speak about recovery from some other life issues and approached me afterwards and said, how do you forgive? I need to know how to do this. She wanted nuts and bolts for, you know, advice. And then she told me what it was that needed to be forgiven, and it was terrible. It was absolutely unforgivable. And she was distraught even recalling it. And so we talked about, you know, Matthew 6 and how Jesus said, for if you do not forgive, your Father in heaven will not forgive you. And we went through that and she understood. And I said, well, you know, do you believe that God has forgiven you in Jesus Christ? And she said, yes. And I said, so do you believe it's possible that you could leave it between you and God, that you would forgive this person, and that you would really trust that God's going to take care of everything and no one's going to get away with anything? And she said, you know, she kind of smiled because actually, isn't that it? Don't we all revert to our childhood? You're going to get it. You're not going to get away with this and so on. And how infuriating it is when someone appears to have gotten away with harming us without any punishment befalling them. She said, yes, she had the maturity to believe that God could be the loving parent to all parties. And it was really amazing because then we also talked about the lame man at the pool. If you listen to this show with any regularity, there's so much wisdom and gold in that encounter. And that's not a parable. That's a story of a man who was lame for 38 years. Jesus came and asked him, do you want to get well? And within minutes, he was walking after 38 years of being crippled and lame. And later in their encounter, Jesus diagnosed that the man had a problem with blame. But anyway, I spoke with this person and I asked, you know, do you want to get well? Do you want to be free of this? Because many times when we've been deeply wronged, we don't. And she thought about it before she answered and she said, yes, she did. So then I asked her to pray. And I would, you know, be her witness that she would, commit to forgiving and asking God to bring her emotions in line with the decision. It was a really beautiful thing. It was a really, really beautiful thing. I mean, the conversation lasted, it unfolded for around an hour, but because it was a big problem she was dealing with. But when the conversation was over, she said, no one has ever said these things to me, and I actually feel I have forgiven. And I feel very, very much lighter toward the whole situation. 1-800-811-3003. Now, that was the work of the Holy Spirit. I can't claim any credit for that. And I was simply, you know, as the Bible says, freely you have received, freely give. I was just sharing wisdom that someone had given me that helped me at a moment like she was experiencing. So have you experienced something like that? Has God impressed on you, as Ron said, the true significance of what God expects of his forgiven ones? His whole purpose in forgiving us is to make us good forgivers, right? He wants a kingdom of forgivers. 1-800-811-3003. And, you know, the negative downside of this is our warning from Jesus in the parable of the unforgiving servant from Matthew 18. And it begins with Peter asking, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him as many as 7 times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. And when he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. That's like your whole working salary, your whole lifetime of salary earned. Since he couldn't pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. But he refused. And he went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. And the master summoned him and said, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. It's not optional. And as Ron said, failing to forgive is sinful. And I pray that you would choose a higher way and that you would trust God fully with whatever it is that you need to forgive this day. If you want to get in touch with us for more resources about forgiveness or help with your spiritual journey, especially after an unintended pregnancy decision, just go to cradlemyheart.org. You'll find our contact form there in the comments, and please know that we treat that with the utmost confidentiality and privacy, and we would never sell or forward your contact information. We know the importance of privacy and confidentiality when discussing matters such as those that we do in our ministry. I'm Kim Cotola. Thank you so much for spending part of your Sunday with us. We really appreciate that. Please know that we are a 501c3 organization, and we can accept gifts which are fully tax deductible. And we would ask that you would prayerfully consider, especially as you approach the year-end giving season, sharing with us out of the overflow of God's goodness in your life. Go to cradlemyheart.org, learn more about upcoming program notes, and find many, many resources that we make available free of charge. Thanks so much for being with us. We hope we'll see you next week here. And remember, Jesus loves you, and so do we.